You know, sometimes it's hard to find adequate words to say what's on your heart. It's when we think about the love of God, it's easy to become overwhelmed with the nearness of His love and His Spirit. Today we lit the fourth candle in the Advent wreath. It's a candle of love. You know, the topic of God's love is truly, it's an overwhelming subject. And when we think about love, when we think about God's love, it moves us to return that love. When you see a small child and that child loves you and you love that child, you want to do everything you can for that baby or for your spouse. Love is an overwhelming thing. It's something that we have trouble even comprehending. And I want to preach about love today, but it's not something that any preacher could probably tackle in one sermon. Don't worry, I've got just one sermon. But there's so much that the Bible has to say about the love of God. Amen. I doubt that anyone has even ever come close to fully comprehending the love of God. When we think about the love of God, I can't help but become tearful, because it's so awesome. It's so overwhelming when you think about the love that God has for us. There was a man by the name of A.W. Tozer. He was an American Christian pastor. He was a preacher. He was an author. He was an editor. And he had a lot to say about the love of God. He said this: "I can no more do justice to this awful," I read that wrong, "to this awesome and wonder-filled topic than a child can reach out and grasp a star. Still, by reaching toward that star, the child may call attention to it and even indicate the direction that one must look to see it. And so I stretch my heart toward the high, shining love of God, so that we may be encouraged to look up and to have hope." You've seen people that never looked up to God, and you wonder, where's their hope? What are they actually living for? Because everything that we have comes from God. He is the author and the finisher of our salvation. Jesus spoke these words to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. And we read in John where he had come to Jesus in the night. Now, we've all have our different approaches to coming to Jesus. But I imagine because of his political stance in the community, he just really didn't want all of his co-workers to see him talking to this Jesus. But he knew that he saw something in Jesus' life that was different than what he had seen in anybody else's. So he come to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, "How can these things be? How can all of this happen?" And Jesus answered him in a verse that we all know and are all familiar with, John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. From this one verse, we can find several truths about the love of God. Truth number one is that the love of God is unconditional. The Greek word that Jesus used for world was cosmos. It's defined as the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of humanity that is alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. This is the world that God loved. It doesn't say that God loved all of the good guys. It doesn't say that God loved all of the Jews. He didn't say that God loves all of the saints. It says that God so loved the world. That means he loved every stinking one of us. In all of our faults, all of our mistakes, everything that we do, he still loves us. He loves us unconditionally. But how can a God love a world like this one? We look around us, we thought things were bad back in Bible times. Look around you today, folks. It's not getting any better. We look around us, we see countries at war with each other. We see families at war within themselves. This world is a mess. But you know what? This God that I'm talking about today loves us anyway. He cares about every single thing that happens to us. In spite of all of our faults and all of our failures, he still loves us. That is unconditional love. A world that has been freshly created by the hand of God. That world that Adam and Eve knew so many thousands of years ago. That was just freshly created. It was perfect. It knew no sin. It was created by God himself. Now, a world like that would be easy for God to love. But a world that is infected by sin, disease, hatred, evil, how can God love something like that? How can he love a world that is backward, a world that fails to recognize its own maker? And openly has hatred for God's approach to the world. You know, it would seem a poor choice for God to love a world like that. But John 1:10 tells us that he was in the world. And though the world was made by him and through him, the world did not recognize him. Did you realize that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was just a small handful of people that recognized Jesus as being the Messiah? The others were just oblivious. Or they were waiting for this king on a white horse to come riding in and rescue them from all of the evils of the world. They did not recognize the Savior right there in front of them. So you see, God's love clearly is not based on our spiritual condition or on our moral predisposition. It's based on our behavior and our attitude toward him. We see here that God's love for mankind is universal and unconditional. He loves everyone. This is the one thing that sets God that we serve apart from all of the other gods that other religions may worship. This unconditional love of God sets Jehovah God apart from everything else. Mankind has searched for peace. They've searched for love in different religions since the beginning of time. They've tried to determine what makes Christianity so unique. One word sums it up completely. What makes Christianity so unique? That word is grace. The grace of God. God's love comes free of charge, no strings attached. No other religion can make that claim. In other religions, you have to give your life for Buddha, Muhammad, or whatever. You have to give your life. But Jesus Christ gave his life so that we wouldn't have to. That's grace. That's love. The unconditional love of God we call grace. Therefore, we can say that grace has precious little to do with us, no matter how strong our inner resolve or how weak our resolve. God still loves us by grace. Grace is all about God and God freely giving to us the gifts of forgiveness, mercy, and love. A man named Philip Yancey put it this way. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. And there's nothing that we can do that would make him love us any less. The second truth, the love of God is sacrificial. Our scripture verse says that God gave his only begotten son. That's how God loved us. He sacrificed his son. He loved us by giving, by serving, and by sacrificing. Listen closely here now. There's something important here about the nature of true love. Some people think that they love others because of what that person can do for them or how others make them feel. You make me feel important. You make me feel good, so I'm going to love you. You make me feel good. You do things for me. You make me happy. So I'm just going to love the fire out of you. It doesn't work that way. We have to love with the love that God loves us with. We have to return that all-powerful, sacrificial love. God shows us that true love has nothing to do with what you can do for me, but it has everything to do with what I can do for you. If I look at Daniel, it's not what Daniel can do for me. It's not what Brother Mike can do for me. It's what can I do for y'all to show you love and kindness and show you Jesus in my life. That's love. That's the love that God is talking to us about this morning. The third truth, the love of God is valuable. We see the value of the Father's love for us. Not only was God willing to give, but we see here that he was willing to give the only son that he had. How many times have you heard or possibly even said yourself, I can't give that to you because that's the only one I have. I would give it to you, but I don't have another one. God didn't say that. Aren't you glad? He says, this is my son, my only begotten son, and I am giving him in love for you. Our scripture says that God didn't have a backup son. He didn't have another one stuck back there on the North 40. He gave all he had. He gave his only begotten son. God loved us so much that he gave us all he had. There was power, there was passion in God's love. So much that God was willing to go to this great length for our sake. He went to this great length for you and for me, for every one of us. Do you realize that if there was nobody else on the earth but you, he would have still sent his only son to die that you could have eternal life? That's love. That's unconditional love. God loved us so much. There was power, there was passion in God's love. The most valuable thing that he had, his only son, was given for us. A child was once overheard trying to quote John 3:16 from the King James Version of the Bible. The little boy got up and he says, where it says, his only begotten son, the child says, his only forgotten son. It was one of those slips that carried more truth than we would care to admit. Most people in the world today, Jesus Christ is forgotten. His life is forgotten. Jesus' love for us has been forgotten. Jesus' sacrifice for us has been forgotten. And it's our job as Christians during this Christian season, during this Advent season, to be God's ambassadors, to go and to tell everyone around us about the only begotten and the only forgotten Son of God who came into the world over 2,000 years ago, all because of love. God's love is unconditional. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is valuable. Christ is the supreme demonstration of God's love. Romans 5:5 says that such love proceeds from the loving heart of the Heavenly Father and is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It has no limits. It's wide enough to embrace all people. In his own life and ministry, Christ constantly made transparent the love of God. He embodied God's forgiveness, God's mercy, and God's compassion for the bruised, the broken, the wretched, and the lost. As we celebrate the birth of our Savior, let us remember that he came in love to people just like us. For people that are facing disappointments in life, that are facing hardships in life, that are facing sorrows, that are facing sins. He came for all of us. Hear him today. Hear the voice of love. Hear the voice of Jesus as he speaks to our hearts. As he said to the disciples in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye, every one of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you love. I will give you peace." This grace is free today. If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and took advantage of this love and this grace and this mercy, today's the day. There's no better day to accept Christ than today. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful for the words that you have given us today. Father, our hearts are filled with the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would just be merciful to us And help us, Father, to show this love to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.